Our opening prayer is actually going to be a prayer along with a study of Jeremiah verses 31 to 34. So if you would open your Bible to Jeremiah 31 to 34. And the first time that I go through this passage, I simply want you to rest and listen and let the words fall over you. Know that they are God's words. They are to comfort us. So I'm reading from Jeremiah 31, verse 31 to 34. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers, when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declared the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor, or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Keep that in your mind, reread it, meditate. We're just going to take a moment to let those words resonate in our minds. I'm going to read it again, and I'd like you to focus on a word or a phrase. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers, when I took them by the hand led them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant. Though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord, this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor, or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. What word or phrase comes to your mind? The word I, meaning God.
The word covenant.
Covenant.
Restore.
Restore.
Is I will put my instructions deep within them.
All of your responses are appreciated. And to study the word and to just take time and to pick out a phrase or a word in the Bible verses is so important for each of us in today's world. I would like to read it just one last time. And what I would like you to think about are the responses that you have shared with all of us. And then think about an action that God may be calling you to. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor, or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of these to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. The time is coming. There is a covenant. I. I will forgive their wickedness. Their sins will be remembered no more. I love that the new covenant is in their hearts. I love that everyone will know him. Would anyone like to share something that's tugging at your heart and in your mind this morning? Perhaps an action that God is calling you to do, to honor him.
I was struck by the fact
Jake was saying, looking forward to Jesus coming and
the fact that God's law will be written on our hearts, but not the kind of law that you find in the Old Testament where you have to have certain ways of washing and mm-hmm. doing the sacrifices and all of that. But a new kind of covenant is coming in this passage.
Is it a law of obedience?
What is coming? What is coming is that it will be in your heart. It will be an instinctual response. You will reply and think and act as Jesus.
Yeah, I see that one. That's exactly what the world needs. Because it comes from your heart.
Right.
All these troubles, all this stuff. You got an evil heart. What's going to happen?
It doesn't take much for the negative thought to pop into your mind, too.
No, it's so easy.
Yeah.
I've been struggling.
If you have God's word in your heart and God's word in your mind, it pushes that negativity out. We're bombarded.
I read something when I see me about, the question was, did God create evil? And it raised the question in my mind, did he create evil? And as I read on, it said, no, he did not create evil. Evil is the absence of God.
Mm-hmm.
So if we have evil in the world, it's people. There's an absence of God.
Absolutely.
It kind of struck a real bell in my mind that, wow, it's so simple.
Mm-hmm.
Either have God or we don't. Either good or we're bad.
And to have them in your heart is much easier than carrying around those tablets of the Ten Commandments on it, right? Because really, that would be a heavy-duty job to carry around those Ten Commandments to remember them, the covenant. But to have Jesus in your heart where it's there instantaneously, it's your first response, it's your first go-to. You're not going to choose evil.
I would venture to say most people have him in their heart. I mean, come on, 100 times a day, think about him. What would Jesus do? You put him first.
Yeah.
Will you do something soon?
Right. That would be our prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like the phrase, remember their sins no more. I remember a story someone told me that God forgives us. Mm-hmm. He puts it in a pond and he puts up a sign that says no fishing.
There you go.
So that we don't go back to it. I mean, we do, as humans, but.
Yeah. I like that.
I think one of the gifts that God's given us is free will. And this verse kind of gives me hope that we won't be so drawn away from God's will easily, that his will be the first thing
right.
on our hearts and our minds, because today, as of now, we are so easily influenced, and so it's such a corrupt world, and this gives hope that that won't be the course.
Right.
Hope I worded that well.
Yeah.
Add to what Kara said. It's so easy to allow this world to suck you in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I still have friends that are not Christians, but, I mean, at least, you know, I tell myself that, you know, they are good people and they are decent people. And they do have, you know, some mm-hmm. things in their heart that, but, I don't really associate with too many other people.
Mm-hmm.
On the regular.
God had seen what was happening in the world, and he knew that changes needed to be made, and I believe he was hurt because he was like their husband for the Israelites, guiding them, helping them to get through the desert for 40 years. Giving them his all, providing their food, their manna, or water, and they still chose and fell into sinful ways. So he was already thinking, things are going to change and we're going to make things a little bit better. That would be our hope for everyone, right? That everything, every idea that we have, every thought that we have, every step that we take, every action is for the better. Right? And then Jesus will be seen in our hearts. Let's turn to John chapter 12. Starting at verse 20 to 33, Jesus predicts his death. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew, and Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus had ridden into town on a donkey, and the people were praising him and giving thanks that he would be their Messiah. Everything would be okay now. And these people from a Greek background had heard about his miracles, and they had the opportunity to see him. Wouldn't we be out that door and down the road if we knew where Jesus was going to be hanging out? We would be just as excited and interested and curious to see him. And Jesus replied, this is verse 23, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it. Well, the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. Where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me for this hour. No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." My servant will serve me. Through reading Jeremiah 31, I had challenged you to think of an action, a way to serve God, something we should start our day with and think about in a very positive way, and find joy in that. When we serve others, we are serving God. He knew at this point that his life would come to an end. He uses the example of the seed, a kernel of wheat. That seed will only grow if it initially dies. So when you plant the seed and the roots grow down, and whatever you plant, the corn stalk or the flowers grow up, they will produce more seeds. He knows his time is coming to an end. He's comforting the people because he knows that more love will be coming after his death. A voice came from the heaven. "I have glorified it, and it will will glorify it again." And the crowd that was there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said that an angel had spoken to him. For example, Saul would not have heard the angel's voice because he was not a believer. The angel was heard by all of those who believed. Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. But I, when I am lifted up from this earth, will draw all men to myself. He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. He knew it was going to be humiliating. He knew it was going to be painful. He knew what was happening before him. He also knew that he would be lifted from that cross. He would be lifted. There would be a resurrection, and the Holy Spirit would be welcomed onto this earth. Men would be drawn closer to him. He is the bravest person that I know to move forward knowing what was going to be happening to him. He did it for us. He did it for our forgiveness. We are forgiven. He did it because he loves us. We're preparing for Easter, which is a joyful holiday, and we think of Easter Bunny and Easter candy. But Easter gives us the time to join together with family. And when we are with family, are we taking the time to show them God's light through our actions and through our words? We don't have to preach a mini sermon to anybody. Mention Jesus. Mention Jesus being crucified. Mention the resurrection of our Lord, where he's lifted into the heavens. Mention that gift of the Holy Spirit for each of us. Let us pray. Lord God, you are with us in this house. You are with us always. May we take this lesson of reading your word and pausing to meditate, to pray, and to make decisions to move forward with actions that glorify you. May we take that into this week and practice this. May that become a way of life for us. Lord God, we have no idea of the pains that you suffered. As we prepare for Easter, may we glorify you and give thanks to you. You are all we need. Continue to draw us closer to you. In your precious name, amen.